The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Today, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding creation, part two, overview of the broadcast. There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. This broadcast will address the topic using simple to understand examples from everyday life. I will assert that spirits prove creation. Also, that discrete forms all reach perfection at the same time, indicating creation. We will note that the global flood limits evolution. I will point out that I have a deep personal experience of the Creator. I will stress that creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. We will note that near-death experiences prove that there is a Creator, and that all this does not explain where the Creator came from. I will then ask, so what? Why should you believe? And I will look at what to do if you now believe. We will then look at some experiences of my own that support my belief. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and cleared communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio and TV program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. If you search between quotes, you'll find there are a number of different podcast sites which have the back issues of this broadcast. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week with the message 2021-0506, the essence of my message regarding creation. This is part two of that broadcast. There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. Many years ago, I got into an argument with the editor of the History Channel on TV about the reality of creation. I went down the road of quoting people I considered authoritative and quoting the Bible, and he responded that he regarded my authorities as charlatans and the Bible as irrelevant. And that left me high and dry. I then decided that I would see if I could prove creation based on my personal observations and things I could personally vouch for. So in 2004, I wrote a book, ebook, Creation versus Evolution, What is the Origin and Purpose of Man?, in which I mostly achieved my goal. This is on the website. Use the Google search to find it. Since then, I've done a lot more thinking and a lot more observing, and this article summarizes the essence of my conclusions throughout this journey. See the images on the corresponding web page on the website for more information. So to continue the message, I want to suggest for your consideration that spirits prove creation. I Googled last night the word spirit, searched for in Google for the word spirit. As of the 21st of July 2022, last night, there were 4.13 billion instances of the word spirit on the internet. The reality is that there are millions, if not billions, of people who believe in spirits in some shape or form. Yet there are people who claim that spirits are fanciful and not real. I suggest for your consideration that given the fact that on the internet 4.13 billion references to spirits occur, that it is foolish to argue that spirits do not exist. I personally have deep experience of the spirit realm and have total certainty that spirits exist. Again, one must consider the reality that based on a limited spiritless evolutionary process, there is no reason for spirits to exist. And therefore, one must conclude that the reality of spirits points to the reality of a creative agency who saw fit to place spirits in human beings and advanced animal forms. Some people claim that all animals and even plants have spirits. I've come across one person who suggests that even rocks have spirits. I don't have a strong opinion on that one, but it's worth thinking about. Then I want to suggest for your consideration that discrete forms all reach perfection at the same time, and that suggests creation. Random evolution also fails to explain why all forms reached perfection at the same time, when with random evolution there would be forms in all sorts of intermediate stages. This speaks to a creator who carefully managed the creative process towards an end state where all forms of plant and animal reached perfection in concert to be available for human beings to enjoy. Folks, this is a little bit more obscure than some of the previous points, but what I would ask you to consider is that every plant, every animal, human beings, are all in a very advanced stage of sophistication and completeness. There are not all sorts of random intermediate stages that are floating around on the earth. Everything is perfect. It's beautifully formed. It's beautifully designed. How did it all come together at the same moment in time? Because we've only had the current dispensation on earth for a relatively short space of time with all the animals and the humans and everything else. So I'd ask you to think about that. I then want to point out to you that the global flood limits evolution. There is overwhelming evidence of a global flood about 4,500 years ago in which an ice comet impacted the earth, melted, and flooded the planet, accompanied by about 20,000 volcanoes, massive tectonic, that's Earth's surface disruption, and upheaval, such that the entire surface of the earth was comprehensively mashed up. And there are therefore very few artifacts on Earth that are older than 4,500 years, no matter what confused scientists who speak of millions and billions of years have to say. If you're not convinced of the reality of the flood, look at the webpage flood forward slash flood videos and the child video, child page there, 10 summing up. For more information, and also see the webpage, The Essence of My Message Regarding Global Hydraulic Tectonic Catastrophe, aka Flood. Folks, when you really dig into it, there was a massive event that totally mashed up the surface of the earth, that flooded the entire earth, that led to all sorts of disruption. And there's very good reason to believe that that only happened about 4,500 years ago. But whether it happened 4,500 years ago, or 10,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago, or 1,000,000 years ago, is less relevant than the fact that it happened. Because when it happened, everything in terms of archaeological evidence, or nearly everything, in terms of archaeological evidence, was disrupted. And then note that because of massive outpourings of lava and magma from the radioactive core of the Earth during the so-called flood, anything that relies on radioactive half-life as a measure of age is fundamentally flawed. Radiocarbon and similar dating methods assume a constant level of ambient radioactivity for millions of years. Reality is a massive outpouring of radioactive material about 4,500 years ago with huge ramifications for the level of the radioactivity on the planet and therefore any dating method that uses radioactivity. And then I want to assert that I have a deep personal experience of the Creator. I mentioned this at the beginning of the program. In addition to all the points raised above, I have deep personal experience of the Creator. And there's further discussion towards the end of this broadcast. I've had him speak to me and through me on numerous occasions. I speak to him constantly throughout the day, every day, and he speaks to me constantly in return. I've seen powerful manifestations of his spirit where people have physically been moved due to the pressure of his spirit, etc. Folks, I understand that at some level that doesn't really help you. But at the same time, I have to say to you that there are a lot of human beings out there who have had similar experiences to those that I've had. Each unique, distinct, but real. There are, if you really start asking questions and start looking, a significant number of people on the planet who will say to you, I have had a personal experience of the Creator. at a level that I would suggest for your consideration that it becomes foolish to suggest that these experiences don't exist. I've had people tell me that I'm hallucinating, that I'm on drugs, that I need psychiatric help. It's none of those things, folks. It's real. Just because you don't believe it's real doesn't make it not real. And then, slightly different angle again, I want to point out to you that creation did not take place in seven periods of 24 hours. It turns out that the core issue that divides evolutionists from creationists is in fact the entirely foolish belief of many religious people who claim that, based on Genesis chapter 1 in the Bible, all of this came into existence in 7 days, that is, seven periods of 24 hours. At the most simple level, the word translated day in Genesis 1 is the Hebrew yom, Strong's number 3117, which has the following renderings. If you're not familiar with Strong's is a concordance which lists every single word in the Bible, gives all its translations, transliteration, etc. It's a very thorough analysis of the text in the Bible. And Strong's reports for this word 3117, which is translated day in Genesis 1, that it occurs hundreds of times in the Bible and is translated afternoon once, age 8 times, age a different version 1 time, all 1, always 14, amount 2, battle 1, birthday 1, Chronicles 38, completely 1, continually 14, course 1, daily 2, and so it goes. If you go to Bible Hub on the web internet and look up Hebrew 3117.htm, or if you just Google Bible Strong's 3117, you will find that there is a list of about, I don't know, 20, 30 different words, all coming from the same Hebrew word. So really, it becomes really foolishness to base any form of teaching on the meaning of this word. In the context with which this word is used in Genesis 1, the best one can say is an indeterminate period of time, or words to that effect. Clearly, from the most basic consideration of the laws of physics, which the Almighty created, it is entirely impossible for this universe to have been magicked into existence in 24 hours, and millions or billions of years is quite plausible. So we find evolutionists arguing against the outright foolishness of day being 24 hours, and in the process totally discounting and rejecting the other beliefs of those who champion seven periods of 24 hours, and therefore rejecting the Creator. The foolishness of believers in matters such as this is a major reason why so many intelligent people do not believe in the Creator. Folks, this is such an important point. Clearly, the world did not come into existence in seven periods of 24 hours. It's taken huge amounts of times for the universe to expand from the Big Bang and so forth. There is so much that is accurate and real in astronomy and so forth that believers discount because of this one word being day. And I really ask you, if you're a believer, let go of it. It's nonsense. And if you're an unbeliever and you're rejecting belief on the basis of this nonsense, then just look for something else and see that there really is a Creator. Listen to last week's broadcast as a starting point. I then want to suggest that near-death experiences prove there's a Creator. With advances in medical and clinical procedures, it has become relatively commonplace that patients have what are generally termed near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, in which the spirit of the human being leaves the body, is taken to heaven, and then the corpse is revived and the spirit returns. There are now a large number of interviews available on YouTube which substantiate the validity of these experiences. It is important to note that only people who have undergone a significant experience of the reality of the Creator at some stage in their life have these experiences, even if they have subsequently forgotten this. They are therefore, for the sake of this article, believers. People who do not have such a relationship with the Creator do not have any experience, so there are reports that large numbers who do die and are resuscitated who do not have such an experience. Such unbelievers would go on to become ancestor spirits or demons after death, and there are no agencies associated with what happens to them after they leave their bodies, and therefore no such near-death or out-of-body experiences. Folks, this is a classic example where lack of understanding of what really happens confuses issues. There are people who draw consolation out of these out-of-body, near-death experiences that we're all going to heaven because the people who went to heaven didn't remember the fact that when they were children, they actually believed momentarily. And it only takes one momentarily moment where you say, aha, I believe in the Creator, and you go from unbeliever to believer. However, you may then forget that you had that momentary experience, but in the books, the records of heaven, you're recorded as a believer, and so when you die, you're taken to heaven. If that never happened to you, you're not going to go to heaven, and nobody's going to be around to tell that that didn't happen. There are three videos that I've picked out. There are quite a lot more. See important videos on the website. There's a video by Father Robert Spitzer, Near-Death Experiences, a fairly sober analysis of statistics and the frequency of these experiences. Search on YouTube for Robert Spitzer, S-P-I-T-Z-E-R, Near-Death Experiences. Then Eben Alexander, A Neurosurgeon's Journey Through the Afterlife. This is a particularly important video for cynical and analytical people who do not believe in an afterlife. This man is a neurosurgeon and a believer through traditional church who was taken to heaven and miraculously healed. I strongly recommend this for people who do not believe and who are cynical. So search on YouTube for Eben Alexander, that's E-B-E-N, Alexander, A Neurosurgeon's Journey Through the Afterlife. You don't have to get the title of these videos absolutely exact. You should be able to find them fairly easily. As I said, the first one, Robert Spitzer, the second one, Eben Alexander. And the thing you gather from these videos is that these people died, they left their bodies, they were taken into heaven. Most of them had an encounter with Yeshua, who you may know incorrectly as Jesus. And then something happened, their body was resuscitated, they came back to life again. And in many cases, you find Yeshua telling them it was not their time to die. Then the third YouTube video that I would refer you to is There Life After Death? A panel discussion moderated by John Cleese in 2018 for the Tom Tom Festival. It's an interesting discussion with particular emphasis on near-death experiences and reincarnation. The panel are all scientists and apparently unbelievers. So they miss the point that only a believer who has a near-death experience will be taken to heaven. An unbeliever will not be taken to heaven. They also miss the point that only believers can be reincarnated, that is, given a second chance to live life better. The key point about this panel discussion is that it is further evidence that these things do happen and that heaven is real. Look on YouTube for Is There Life After Death? John Cleese. By extension, I suggest for your consideration that these experiences that validate the reality that there is a Creator and that He created us with the objective of living with Him in heaven for eternity, such that this life is an exam or a test or a trial in terms of which we will or will not qualify to spend eternity with Him in heaven. I really ask you to recognize that there are sufficient reports of near-death experiences, sufficient interviews with reasonably rational, sensible people who share roughly the same story for this not to be an invention. It's real. And if it's real, then heaven is real. Yeshua, Jesus, is real. And the Creator is real. And really, folks, in my mind, it's pretty silly to deny that. But that does not explain where the Creator came from. Based on the points above, I submit with a high level of certainty that the Creator exists and He created all that is around us. To some extent, that is easy for me to say. I've heard Him speak to me audibly. I engage in an ongoing conversation with Him every day of my life. I've had a significant number of dramatic supernatural experiences such that I know with absolute certainty that He exists. If you're somewhat persuaded by the points above, I expect that your last remaining objection will be something along the lines of, that is all very well and good. So this Creator did create all this stuff. So how then was He created? And I would like to answer this as follows. Number one, if you do not believe He exists, then you have the same problem in terms of where all this stuff came from. Clearly it's here. We live it. So where did it come from? Secondly, my answer to your question is the Creator created it, to which you ask, so who or what created the Creator? My answer to that is that He tells us that His full title is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. In other words, He's always been here. So you basically have a choice. Mother Nature, which inexplicably created all of this in some magic way and has always been there, but who is not real and will not reward you for your life here, or believe in the Almighty Creator who is real, and who will reward you for your life here if you live it well and to His standards. See the web page Confident of Destination When Die. I know what my choice is, and I recommend this to you as well. So, folks, I get that this might be a bit of a stretch for you. You've got this massively creative, highly intelligent, highly sensitive, highly caring, highly loving being who made all of this, and yet you can't answer where He came from. And I grant you that's a little bit of a challenge. But my answer to you is, there is a mass of evidence that He exists. I've shared with you 20-something points, which collectively, in my opinion, incontrovertibly prove that He exists. I encourage you to give that serious consideration. And then the question is, well, where did He come from? And I know I've just answered that, but let's go there again. Fact is, folks, at some level, it doesn't matter where He came from, like it doesn't matter where nature came from, where it doesn't matter where all of the stuff, the planets and the universe and everything came from. The fact is we exist. It exists. It's not a figment of your imagination. You go and kick the wall and you'll hurt your foot. It's real. So He's real. Where He came from is academic and, frankly, in my opinion, irrelevant. So what? Why should you believe? You may have read this far and or listened this far and be asking the question, so what? Why does it matter? Why should I make a choice? The bottom line is that the Creator has said, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you believe, you make it into heaven when you die. If you do not believe, you remain on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon serving Satan. Not a pleasant outcome. If you do believe, then this opens the door to a range of outcomes in terms of major reward in heaven. See the webpage, Where Are You Going? For a discussion of this. See also the essence of my message regarding critical end-of-life scenarios. Two very comprehensive discussions of all the different ways that your life might end, depending on how you live life on earth. And I want to suggest, at the end of the day, it is definitely worth becoming a believer, and it is definitely worth putting a real effort into your relationship with him, into drawing close to him, into knowing his will and doing it, into hearing his voice and being obedient, into seeking to serve him, into worshiping, into praying, into letting him guide you, in letting him teach you, letting him help you in your work, help you in your relationships, help you in every facet of your life. He wants to be intimately involved in your life because that's what he created you for. So I encourage you, if you're not yet a believer, to believe. And if you are a believer and you're just pussyfooting around, well, then go for it and get really close to him. What do you do if you now believe for the first time? If you've now concluded that you do believe that the Almighty Creator exists, I recommend that you pray along the following lines. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, I've previously believed that you do not exist. I now recognize that I was mistaken, and I repent, and I ask you to forgive me. I choose now to accept the reality of your existence, and I ask you to help me to learn about you and come into relationship with you. Show me what to read and listen to, and what not to read and what not to listen to. Send people to me who can help me, and keep people from me who will not help me. I ask you to send your set-apart or Holy Spirit to live in me and help me to become a faithful servant. Amen. Please feel free to email me or connect with me on LinkedIn for me to support you. There's a large amount of information on the website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. I'll give you the link again at the end of this broadcast. Folks, I would love to help you. Please feel free to email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Again, I'll give that to you in at the end of the broadcast as well. Such a simple prayer. There's a huge amount more that you can pray, and there's a page on the essence of my message regarding prayer, and the other pages regarding prayer on the website. So I just want to amplify why I believe, and I'm going to give you a rerun of an article that I broadcast a few months ago, 2021-05-02, Why I Believe. It occurs to me that while I write with great confidence regarding the existence of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, it might be helpful to share a few of the experiences that give me this confidence. This may or may not help you directly, but I hope it will challenge you to grow to a point where you can have similar experiences. By way of a preface, I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and might have been 14. I grew up in an Anglican family and I went to church. In fact, my mother was Anglican or Church of England. My father was Presbyterian. At the age of 13, I was confirmed and I had a limited conversion experience that moved me to the standing of believer. I subsequently gave limited service, including as an altar boy from the age of 19 for about 4 or 5 years, at which point I walked away from the church because I was offended by the attitude of the priests and the hypocrisy of the church. I progressively backslid to a point where by 1991, I was effectively atheist and I got into an adulterous relationship with my secretary. So, folks, I think this happens to a lot of people. You go for confirmation when you're about 12, 13, 14. You have some momentary belief experience. You may follow that through at some level of going to church for a while, but eventually you become disenchanted because, folks, let's face it, the church is not particularly, the church has got a lot of issues. Let's just leave it at that. Then on the 12th of March, 1993, Father spoke to me audibly. The relationship came out in the open in early 1993, and I then discovered I was deeply in love with my mistress, but could not be with her. I ended up in a hotel room figuring out how to kill myself when at about 7 a.m. on the morning of 12th of March, 1993, in a locked hotel room, the Almighty spoke to me audibly, out loud. I knew instantly who it was. He told me to phone a friend, and that friend shared his living relationship with the Almighty and led me back to the Almighty. At that point, I clearly got the message that I'd been on the fast track to hell, repented, turned around, and started strenuously seeking to build my relationship with Father Yah. Since he'd spoken to me audibly, it never occurred to me that he would not speak to me again. So I went forward expecting to hear from him. That experience of the Almighty speaking to me, coupled to my realization of heading for hell, has kept me more or less on track ever since. I threw myself into serving him who had spoken to me. I started going to church several times a week, listening to teaching tapes, worshiping at every opportunity, reading the Bible and everything else I could get my hands on, and I grew rapidly in my relationship with him. I share this with you because it's available to any person to make a decision and say, you know what, I'm going to serve him now. I'm going to read all I can find to read. I'm going to worship. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask him to guide me. There are over 2,400 articles on the website. There's over 1,000 web pages. There's a huge amount on a huge diversity of topics on the website. Most of it inspired and anointed at some level. Good place to start in terms of growing. And on the 5th of December, 1993, so roughly 9 months later, I was given a message for an Anglican priest and his wife. On a two-hour drive to celebrate Christmas with my sister, the Almighty gave me a message for the Anglican priest who would be officiating in the church. It was the first time I'd actually gone to a stranger and spoken in the name of the Almighty, so I pushed back hard. I did not want to do it. Throughout the service, the Almighty kept reminding me to speak to the priest. At the end of the message, as people were leaving, I went up to the wife of the priest and I very tentatively gave her the message. She was exultant and shouted at the top of her voice, "Trevor, this brother has the word we've been waiting for." We became friends, and they invited me to minister in their main church on a number of occasions. This experience encouraged me considerably, and I've given many other people messages from the Almighty since then, not of all of which have been so gratefully received. So, folks, one of the strange things is you give somebody a message from Father, and they go and they do exactly the opposite. I mean, I've done this myself on occasion. There was one big instance in 2010. Where I got very clear direction from Father, and a few months later, I just went off and did exactly the opposite. And I can't explain to today why I did that. But I've seen it happen a lot of times. But the fact of the matter is, if you are close to Father and you're hearing his voice and he says to you, go and speak to this person and say ABC. And in the ABC is some information which you could not possibly have known because they have, for example, quietly prayed to Father and said, please give me an answer to this. And it's dramatic when you go to somebody and you speak something that you have no physical knowledge of, and they say, my goodness, that's from Father. It's one of the reasons I know he exists. Then a couple of days later, the early morning of the 2nd of January, 1994, Father put his hand on me. A few days later, I was reading the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I could not put it down, and I was deeply impacted by his story of his encounter with Father Yah. At about 3 a.m., I went to bed, and lying on my stomach, I prayed, Father, I desire to know you the way that Benny Hinn does. After some time, my bedroom was filled with a mighty roaring sound, and I experienced intense pressure pressing me into the bed, which I subsequently understood to be Father's hand. I woke the next morning with a strong anointing, infilling of the Spirit of Yah. My new secretary arrived for work in tears. Her brother had committed suicide. I held her hands and prayed for her, and what felt like an electric current passed between us. She looked at me wide-eyed and immediately experienced supernatural peace. Numerous other incidents followed, including healings, etc. My church did not recognize me because I had not been to their Bible school or any Bible school, and they'd not taught me. So my ministry was largely low-key and sort of undercover in a sense. The key thing here, folks, is an intensely physical experience that was followed up by intense spiritual and physical experiences. If you've never held somebody's hands and had the spirit of Yah flow into them, and when they're filled with grief, they suddenly have great peace, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. And then my car carried by messengers or angels. Some months later, I was in a motor vehicle accident where I was late to catch an airplane and was speeding on a winding road when I came round a corner and hit a pool of mud and lost control of the car, which slid sideways off an embankment about 10 feet high. As the car left the road, I cried out to Father, and his messengers or angels caught the car and laid it gently at the foot of the slope. It should have rolled down the hill, but instead my pen and diary, which were open on the passenger seat, remained in place, and they were not displaced at all. I was not injured or even shaken. There are a number of additional examples on the website, on the web page, Why I Believe. Folks, again, if you've never had such an experience, it's difficult to understand. Literally, the car slid sideways. I came around the bend. There was mud all over the road. I was going too fast. I lost control, and the car just slid. There was a fairly high verge. The near side wheel should have dug in, and then the car should have just rolled sideways down the embankment of about 10, 15 feet high. Instead, the car just drifted in the air and came gently to rest at the foot of the hill. Very difficult to understand if you've never had an experience like that, but I testify that I'm telling you the truth, and it really did happen. So I'm going to wrap up now and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I really hope that if you can't answer yes to those 5 points, that you are today challenged to come to a place where you can answer yes to those 5 points. It's there for you. This is what you were created for. All the rest is fluff and stuff. You weren't created to live life without him. You weren't created to just muddle on. You were created to have a deep personal relationship with him, to count him your friend, your counselor, your guide in every possible way, and to come to a place where you know him so intimately that he calls you friend. I challenge you to go there. So on the main, on the website, the main menu, there's a number of key documents and a video, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, that's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for quote Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are some distance down the right-hand sidebar on most web pages. Google search is particularly effective. Facility of Google search functionality, all indexed to the website. So as I've said before, there's a lot of content there. You may well find answers to the questions you're asking on a diversity of subjects. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I can't stress enough. The whole reason this universe exists, this planet exists, and you and I exist, is because the Almighty Creator was lonely and he wanted friends. You can become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or not educated. It doesn't matter if you're short or tall, fat or thin. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter your race, your tribe, your nation, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. He wants you to become his friend. He will meet you where you are. If you will just turn to him and say, Father Yah, James Robertson says, I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. It'll be a journey. It will take time. Look at the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close, on the website. That'll help you. Folks, I encourage you to go for it. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I come.